Welcome to today's edition of Crypto Corner at InvestorIdeas.com, news on what's driving the cryptocurrency market.
Well, welcome to the show, Adam and Cole. For listeners that aren't familiar with Coinos, can you talk to us about how you started in the crypto space and Bitcoin space and how you came up with the concept of Coinos?
Yeah, Coinos, I guess, is going on more than 10 years old now. I got into Bitcoin in 2011 and just got really excited about the whole idea of it after I convinced myself that it was the real deal. And I moved to Vancouver from Edmonton in 2012, and I started a Bitcoin meetup group. And so a bunch of people were just meeting up regularly, discussing Bitcoin, trying to figure it out and what the implications are for the world and all that. And one of the ways we thought would be effective to get the message out and let people know about it is to start getting merchant adoption so that people could see that Bitcoin's not just a Ponzi scheme or an investment on the internet that people are putting money into, but it's a real kind of payment technology. So started talking to business owners and seeing if they would be willing to try accepting Bitcoin for a payment for their goods and services. And Coinos was just a simple tool back then for people to put in their Bitcoin address and then enter the sale amount for whatever it was they're selling, to enter that in dollars, and then Coinos would convert that to the equivalent amount in Bitcoin by looking up the exchange rate, and then it would record all the transactions you receive as a business owner. So if someone was paying you for a coffee or a muffin, or you're running a restaurant and someone wanted to come in and pay with Bitcoin, you would punch it into Coinos. They would send the payment to your address, and it would tell you in dollar terms what you received, and then keep track of all that for accounting. And it's just kind of evolved since then. It has, in 2018, we added support for the Lightning Network, which is a new layer of Bitcoin that is faster and cheaper, so you don't have to wait for those 10-minute block confirmations for the money to settle. And the fees are a lot cheaper on the Lightning Network. They're on the order of fractions of a cent. And so, yeah, just in the last couple of years, I teamed up with Cole, and we've been just trying to get more and more merchants accepting Bitcoin payments, primarily in Vancouver. We've been going around here because that's where we're based, or I'm based in Vancouver, Cole's in Whistler, but pretty close by. But we do have places all over the world starting to use it. So there's a big contingent down in Brazil that are using it to take payments there. And yeah, we're starting to see places pop up all over the place that are using it to take Bitcoin.
Can you talk to our listeners about the Lightning Network and how that's changed the adoption of basically using Bitcoin as payment in most places, and, you know, some of the differences between maybe Lightning Network and Liquid Network and a few of the others that are maybe comparable or competitors?
Yeah, sure. So the difference between, like, the Lightning Network has been an amazing, you could call it an upgrade, but instead of using the word upgrade, I would say it's an addition to Bitcoin's use case. So, you know, with the Lightning Network, like Adam would say, it makes transactions instant with virtually no fees. And people ask me, like, what is the Lightning Network? What is it? Well, what it is, like, in a dumbed down kind of, what it is dumbed down is a, it's not on the blockchain. It's a layer two network for Bitcoin, but it's not on the blockchain. So if I had my way, I would only ever transact on Lightning and not use normal on-chain Bitcoin. Using Lightning is still using Bitcoin. And it's more private because it's nodes interacting with other nodes. So, for example, if I have a node, a Lightning node, and you, Callie, you have a Lightning node, you and me can do transactions to each other instantly across the world for virtually no fees. You set the fee on your own node. Now, in order for us to avoid the complications of everyone having to run their own node, we suggest people use wallets such as ours, and there's many others out there as well. And if you use a wallet like ours, then you're basically using our node to interact with other nodes. You're using our node to interact with other Lightning wallets. So someone else could have a different Lightning wallet, such as Moon or something like that. And you would be using Moon's node. Or if you use a different Lightning wallet, you're using their node. And it prevents, it avoids you having to create your own node. And that's how Lightning Network is scalable right now. And that's how it is going to scale even bigger. We were in close, like we have our channels, our Lightning channels, which we have our Lightning channels open with the biggest Lightning wallet providers in the world. So that means if you have a Coinos wallet, you can pretty much do Lightning transactions with all of the biggest names in the Lightning wallet space. And then Liquid Network is, Liquid Network is a layer two of Bitcoin, and the Liquid Network is on the blockchain itself. So when you transact on the Liquid Network, it's an amazing thing to have as well. But it doesn't work the same as Lightning. Lightning Network operates with nodes and channels and not on the blockchain, but Liquid Network is on the blockchain. So it's basically liquid Bitcoin transferring way faster with almost no fees. And our classic, our version one of Coinos, which is classic.coinos.io, we have an interoperability with Lightning, on-chain Bitcoin, and Liquid, all three, and you can swap in between one. We take care of that swap for you, so you don't need to go into your own settings and select which one you want to swap to. If you have $100 in your Coinos wallet and you scan someone else's QR code, whether they have an on-chain Bitcoin wallet address or a Lightning wallet address, Coinos will detect what kind of wallet they have. And so that's where we would do the swap for you from on-chain Bitcoin to Lightning Bitcoin. So you don't need to deal with the complications of that either. But in a nutshell, that's what I would say the biggest improvements are. The Lightning Network capacity is at an all-time high right now. Right in this moment, I don't know if it's an all-time high, but this past couple of weeks, it has reached an all-time high. And last year, the Lightning Network was still reaching all-time highs, the Lightning Network capacity, even during a bear market of Bitcoin. So we have seen, all three of us have seen evidence that even when Bitcoin is on a downtrend or even when Bitcoin's price is low, the Lightning Network capacity keeps growing. That's a very good sign for user adoption. And that's what enables us to make it more adoptive, to make it more that's what enables us to make it more usable for merchants and for people who walk into coffee shops and they don't want to wait half an hour for three confirmations of the Bitcoin on-chain transactions. They want instant, just like the owner wants an instant transaction.
You have such a user-friendly and easy-to-set-up product for everyone. So can you kind of, I've seen through your website and everything, and we can talk about where everyone can find this later in your videos, but can you just walk us through how the setup for a Coinos wallet and, you know, basically how simple and user-friendly and easy it is to join?
So to join, it is as easy as typing in on any browser, coinos.io, coinos.io. You don't even need to put www. We've made it as easy and seamless as possible. You go to coinos.io, and then you press the big black button that is on the home screen. Sorry, that is on the home page. It says start in seconds. You press that button, it brings you to a sign up page, a username and password. We don't even ask you for your email because we understand the value of privacy and we know that other users value that as well. So we can also auto-generate your username for you to make it an even faster process. And you can change your username later at any point. But even if you want to make your own username and your own password, the whole process from start to finish of creating an account, I would say can take 10 to 15 seconds. We were actually on, we were talking with Matt Odell, to those who are in the Bitcoin space, and he's confident that he can make a CoinOS wallet in less than 10 seconds. and then once you, yeah, yeah. So we were happy to hear Matt Odell's opinion be on our side with that. That was cool. So after you make an account, then, you know, you can automatically start receiving and send Bitcoin on-chain payments or Lightning on-chain, or Lightning payments.
So as far as your lower fees and that whole process goes, can you talk to us about how you guys are able to offer that compared to some of the other, like, competitors out there?
Yeah, so we don't have any fees to create an account and to receive money into the account. You can receive, like I was saying, on-chain Bitcoin or Lightning. And then once you go to make a withdrawal, we record behind the scenes what network the funds came in on. So if your funds were deposited over Lightning and you put in, say, I don't know, $1,000 Canadian worth of Bitcoin over the Lightning network, then you get a credit in your account. It's not going to be visible to you, but it's in our database that you have 0.1% of that is going to be credited to cover withdrawal fees. So if you deposit over Lightning and then withdraw over Lightning, you can withdraw your full balance, that $1,000, for free, because that credit will be applied because you're withdrawing over the same network that you deposited on. But if you deposit $1,000 on Lightning and then you try to withdraw it to an on-chain Bitcoin address, then that 0.1% Lightning credit won't apply in that case. And so you will be paying 0.1% to us to convert the Lightning funds to on-chain funds. So that's where the fees come in, is when you're going between Lightning to on-chain Bitcoin or vice versa. But if you're just using CoinOS to receive over one network and send out over the same network, then that's going to be free. The only fee that comes into play there is the network fee that is paid to, like, the, well, in the case of an on-chain payment, it's paid to the Bitcoin miners. And that's a fee that you can set yourself. There's a drop-down where you can choose whether you want your transaction to confirm, like, really fast, like within the next block, or if you're okay to wait and you want to set a lower fee, then it'll let you wait basically up to 40 blocks. So yeah, you decide what fee to pay there. And with Lightning, if you're trying to pay a node that we're not directly connected to, so one that we have to, you know, route the payment through the Lightning network, then depending on the route that it takes, there's going to be a fee there, but it'll be really small. Station stuff yet. So right now it's just a free app and it's open source. So anyone can run the CoinOS code on their own server. You don't have to use it at our website. You could run it at home. You could put it at your own domain. You could take the code and modify all the branding and the look and feel, kind of like posting your own WordPress blog or something if you wanted to run your own CoinOS instance.
What is your mission statement at current? I think definitely our listeners would love to hear that.
So yeah, that's our, we totally were big believers in it because we understand, like, the basics of market cycles. So the investment part of it is a big motivator, of course, right? And, you know, we're not here just for price increase going up. We're here for the technology behind it as well. And that's our motivation. We know that the more adopted we make it, it's going to bring more users into the Bitcoin space, Bitcoin and Lightning and Liquid space, and it's just going to drive more adoption into Bitcoin. I've onboarded many people onto the Bitcoin network, onboarded as in, like, I've orange-pilled many people into buying sizable, like, medium-sized amounts of Bitcoin, and that's from showing them that, like, hey, guys, look, you can spend it here, you can spend it there, you can go to a butcher shop, you can get your haircut, you can go to multiple different kinds of restaurants, you can get your boat repaired, you can rent an exotic car, you can get your windows changed. Like, there's so many different things you can do with paying with Bitcoin without needing Visa as a middleman. I mean, it's okay. The fact that we do have Visa, Bitcoin Visa cards today that we can use, I think that's great for overall adoption. But to not need Visa is an even bigger step towards adoption, because a lot of people value privacy. So that's a big part of our motivation there. Yeah, and I know where it's going with, like, the Lightning Network capacity, the fact that Bitcoin's hash rate kept reaching all-time highs even during the 2022 bear market. And even right now, the Bitcoin hash rate is increasing. So the market does not need to be going up for Bitcoin's network and the Lightning Network to increase in strength and security. So I'm very grateful for those reasons.
When you talk about that you have open source, do you have a lot of different other, like, technicians or anyone that's helping you develop within the code and everything for you guys as well? Or is that just free to use for them to download?
Yeah, over the years, we've had a number of different contributors, and I've had other contractors in the past that I hired to help build the code to where it is today. I'm the main developer still, and lately it's mostly just been me plugging away at it. But we do have other people using it in other countries and who are starting to download it and set it up on their own servers. So I'm consulting with a few different people to get them their own CoinOS instances. And then the idea is, at some point they'll be able to contribute back. So if they have new features that they want to develop that are specific to their region or to their customer base, then they'll be running like a fork of our code. And then if they make improvements or hire people to develop that, then it all comes back. Like, we can pick and choose, you know, some of those improvements that we want to bring back into CoinOS. That's the beauty of open source, is that you get people from all over the world developing things, and you can share and develop, you know, better products for everyone. So, and I'm a big proponent of open source software.
You have CoinOS all over the world, and you're being adopted in lots of different places. Obviously, you're based in Vancouver. Can you talk to us about some of the differences of what you're seeing, like, you know, home base versus, I know, obviously, you know, in Miami is a big adoption area. What are some of the statistics that are coming out of BC I'd be curious about, and then what are you seeing in some of the other places?
One thing I can mention is, like, the difference between here in Vancouver and down in Brazil is just the method that we're using is a little bit different for people to take payments. And, like, for the merchants, the way they use the app is a bit different. So here we've been encouraging most merchants to just have a QR code printed off on, like, a sticker, and then customers will go in and scan that sticker, and it takes them to the merchant's CoinOS profile page. So every CoinOS user has a username, and if you go to coinos.io/ that username, like in my case, it's coinos.io/Adam, would take you to my page. And the customer that's visiting that page will see a button to pay the merchant. So they can click pay and then enter in the amount they want to send. And then there's an option to add a tip in some cases. Merchants can decide whether they want to prompt for a tip or not. So a lot of them will ask, do you want to add 10% or 20%? There's different buttons that you can choose your tip. And then the customer will just, you know, send the funds. And the merchant will, in our case in Vancouver, the merchants will have a printer that we give them that prints out a little piece of paper with the amount that they received in dollars. So they'll see this piece of paper come out that says, oh, you just received a payment for $6. And that's how they know that they got paid. But down in Brazil, most of the merchants there are using just either their phone or they have a tablet, and they're doing the payment on that device. So instead of the customer coming and scanning a sticker, the merchant is going to initiate that payment by bringing up their tablet and then typing the amount in there and then getting the customer to scan the QR code and pay it that way.
How has it been the feedback from merchants, like setting up in store? That just curious from like a Vancouver perspective, has it been easy to get, whether it's like a coffee shop or a restaurant or whatever, to say, yes, we're definitely interested in that? Or has it been a bit of a technology hump to get over for them to adopt new ideas?
Yeah, sure. So most, I would say 90% of the people we approach are no-coiners. So a no-coiner, for those listening who don't know what that means, that just means someone who doesn't have any Bitcoin and they're not invested in it. So we do get, me and Adam both, we get lots of practice with how to talk to these kinds of people. And the most effective thing to say, I mean, just in my personal opinion and what's been working for us, the most effective thing to say to merchants is that we guarantee you more sales. And we can literally give that guarantee because we give your business, if you want to use us to accept Bitcoin payments, we give your business free marketing / promotion on all of our social medias. We have map websites such as btcmap.org. There's other map websites that we post the businesses on, but the one that we find is the most effective is btcmap.org. So when we do things like that, and also we promote the businesses in our Telegram group chats. Telegram is phenomenal for good quality engagement from the Vancouver Bitcoin community and in other cities, in other countries that are using us as well. I'm promoting our stuff in other countries that have communities using our business as well. And so when we tell the business owners these points and we let them know that, oh, that person down the street is using us and that other person a few blocks north of you is using it and then another person 5 blocks south of you is using it, and you give them that social proof of the fact that other people are using it, that helps a lot because it gives them confidence that it's actually working. Some of them will even be friends with some of these other business owners near them, and then they call them and they say, and they'll be like, hey, how's it working out. So the key to us getting certain areas of Vancouver more Bitcoinized with more merchant adoption is to get them talking to each other and get businesses in the same area, because then it's easier for them to talk to each other and get each other's feedback.
We'll move back into Bitcoin. You guys are obviously big followers and believers in it. So, you know, what are you guys kind of forecasting, or what do you see for 2024? Or what are you hoping to see for 2024 in the Bitcoin story?
Hoping to see more adoption, new tech coming out that makes Bitcoin scale better. So Lightning's done a really good job so far, but we're still seeing high fees on the blockchain right now, and Lightning can't scale forever. So if we had a huge explosion of new users and new companies all wanting to use Bitcoin, it would probably be a little bit messy and expensive right now, and things might not work super smoothly. So looking forward to seeing people come up with ways to make even Lightning more efficient, have less of a footprint on the, on-chain fees, other layer twos for Bitcoin that could help keep the cost low for those fees. And then I guess, the institutional level adoption, like we might see the ETFs get approved, and that'll just make it a lot easier for big companies and funds to invest capital into Bitcoin. So we could see a huge price spike if some of those get approved, because it'll just be a lot easier for these big players to just, click a button and say, okay, buy some of that ETF, versus right now for them to try to acquire a position in Bitcoin, if they're trying to do it, self-custodially, where they have their own wallet and keep the Bitcoin in their own account where they have the keys to it, then there's all kinds of risks and issues with that when you're doing it at like a corporate level. So just giving them the, you know, the entryway to be able to buy large amounts of Bitcoin and have a lot of capital flow into it.
Pretty much everything Adam said was bang on there with, you know, the ETF. Like, we're excited about the ETF being approved, and it's going to just bring a big inflow of all these old school investors, right? And you know, BlackRock and Fidelity and Grayscale, ARK Invest, like the biggest companies who are applying for the ETF, they have tons of old school people in their companies. So those people are going to now have an easy way to invest in Bitcoin. I myself, I'm not going to put my money in an ETF. Right, I'd rather have my Bitcoin in cold storage. Right, me and Adam teach people about cold storage. Yes, we are a custodial wallet, no problem. But we do teach people about self custody, and we teach people about cold storage. So, but I know that the ETF news is going to bring a big inflow into Bitcoin, a big inflow of money. And when people realize the difference between Bitcoin and other, you know, cryptocurrencies, when people realize that difference, they are more so they're more inclined to get into it, right? And I'm very positive about the future. I can't say I know what's going to happen. There's no guarantees of anything, obviously, except death and taxes, obviously. But we are very, very confident about the future, long term and short term, of Bitcoin.
And for your wallets, do you have a non-custodial option as well, or is it just a custodial, or is that something that you might add in the future?
We used to have a we do have a non-custodial option in the Classic Coinos, at classic.coinos.io, which was sort of the previous incarnation of the wallet before we rewrote it last year or a couple of years ago. But we're going to be adding that back in, so... Yeah, it'll be coming soon to the current version of Coinos, where you'll be able to back up your 12-word seed phrase, and that'll be your keys that we don't store on our server anywhere. And the way it'll work is once your balance hits a certain threshold in the custodial wallet, which gives you the ability to use the Lightning Network really seamlessly, once you hit a certain balance there, you'll be able to set up in your account settings what that threshold is and how much you want to move to your own self-custodial wallet. And that could be done on when you hit a certain balance in your account, or it could be something where it's just every 24 hours you withdraw, you know, X percentage of your balance to your cold storage. And if you don't have or if you do have your own cold storage, like you have a hardware wallet or a paper wallet or something, and you want to put in your own address from an external wallet, we'll support that as well. Or if you just want to move to like another Lightning address or another Lightning wallet by another provider or something, or your own node or something, we'll let you put that in. So that's something I'm working on right now.
Oh, that's exciting. So for merchants that are interested after hearing the podcast that they want to sign up, where can they go to connect with you? How does that work? If someone's just looking for the wallet, you mentioned that they can just go to coinos.io. Where can they find you also on social media? And you mentioned the Bitcoin group in Vancouver. If you can give some information on all those for people to reach out to you.
Sure. On the bottom of our homepage, coinos.io, you can see all of our links, our Twitter, Telegram, and our Linktree. Our Linktree is basically linktr.ee/coinos.io. And all those links to all of our social medias are on the bottom of our homepage. Yeah, so Telegram, we highly recommend people join our Telegram group, our Coinos Telegram group. You can ask a lot of troubleshooting questions there as well, and we're very prompt at helping people out and answering their questions there. Just end off with saying, yeah, we have over 375 businesses worldwide. Anyone is able to use us as long as Bitcoin is legal in their country. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Cole and Adam, for joining the show. And I hope everyone goes and joins your Telegram group and follows you guys on social medias and gets the Coinos wallet.
That does it for today's Crypto Corner. If you would like to be a guest or sponsor for this podcast, contact investorideas.com. Investor Ideas reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the investorideas.com website. And this podcast is not an endorsement to buy products, services, or securities. Investors are reminded all investment involves risk and possible loss of investment. To hear more investorideas.com podcasts, please visit investorideas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can also hear our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker.com, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and most audio platforms available.